Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Today we celebrate the feast of Saint Bartholomew. And Bartholomew, as Magnificat magazine tells us, Bartholomew is named in the lists of the apostles in all three synoptic gospels. He has traditionally been identified with the Nathanael of John's gospel, of whom Jesus said, "Here is a true Israelite. There is no duplicity in him, no double-mindedness," what I've been talking about the last few days. His word was his word. You could count on it. He lived in the light. He didn't do things in darkness. He was not at all a hypocrite. Here is a true Israelite. There is no duplicity in him. It is said that after the resurrection, Bartholomew went to India and Greater Armenia, where his zealous preaching and command over demons earned him the anger of the pagan priests. He was taking business away from them. They became angry. They became jealous. And so the apostle was beaten. He was flayed. He was beheaded. And the faithful of Armenia hail Bartholomew as the founder of their church. He is the saint. He is the apostle to whom we go back in history, the one who brought the faith there and lived it out and died for it. The church is offering us readings, and Jesus is speaking to us clearly in these days about hypocrisy, about saying one thing and meaning another, our motives. We want to be clear and simple, that we say what is true, that we think in light of what God asks of us. We think righteously. We think honestly. We don't double-minded. We don't do something for a reason other than what we're promoting. We're simple. Simple does not mean dumb. Simple means single-hearted. We need to be single-hearted. Am I serving you doing this program? Am I serving you because I want your good? I want your holiness. I want God to love you and be pleased with you. I want us all to be in heaven together. That's why I'm doing the program. A lot of people, when I go different places, they recognize me, they come up, they speak, they tell me that the program is very helpful to them. Well, as a human being, I'm touched by that. I like that. I can't do it for that reason. If I do, then the work I'm doing is only doesn't benefit anybody eternally. I want you to know heaven. I want you to have God forever. So I have to tell myself every day, I do this, Lord, for your glory and honor, not for mine. If people compliment me, of course, thank you. Of course I'm touched by it. I appreciate the encouragement. I appreciate the support. But that's not why I'm doing the program. I'm doing it so that you may come to union with God himself. Why do you do what you do? Are you doing the right things for the wrong reasons? Are you doing the right things for the right reasons? Even if you're doing wrong things, you can change. We want to do the right things for the right reasons, that we may have heaven forever, that we may know eternal life forever. It's not a fairy tale. Those of you who are not believers, I just want to say it. It's not a fairy tale. It's real. I'd stake my life on it. I know it to be real. As we listen to these readings, let's say, am I living in light of the glory and honor of God? Am I living, speaking, thinking, everyday life, am I doing it that he may be honored, that I might draw closer to him, and that others, because of me, may be drawn closer to him? Am I living my life that way? Whatever my occupation, am I living my life that way? Strengthen in us, O Lord, the faith by which the blessed Apostle Bartholomew clung wholeheartedly to your Son, and grant that through the help of his prayers, your church may become for all the nations the sacrament of salvation. The first reading from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 9 to 14. The angel spoke to me, saying, "Come here, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." He took me in spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It gleamed with the splendor of God. Its radiance was like that of a precious stone, like jasper, clear as crystal. It had a massive high wall with 12 gates where 12 angels were stationed, and on which names were inscribed, the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. There were 3 gates facing east, 3 north, 3 south, 3 west. The wall of the city had 12 courses of stones as its foundation, on which were inscribed the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. We're being given a vision of heaven. We're being given a vision of heaven. You say, "Well, I don't care so much about what it looks like." And that's true. That's of secondary importance, but what the scriptures are revealing to us is the glory and the splendor of heaven, because all things will be directed to the right place. No more duplicity, no more hypocrisy, no more double-edged swords. We're there because we love him, because we love him and we open our hearts to be loved by him. And because of that, we can love one another. What a blessed time that will be. And every tear, every sign of mourning, every pain, every suffering will be taken away. And it is true, it will happen for those who follow him now in this life. Psalm 145, "Your friends make known, O Lord, the glorious splendor of your kingdom." We do it by our thoughts and our words and our actions. We do it. We reveal the kingdom to come. By our faith, by our hope, and by our love. How strong are those virtues in your life? Do you ask for them every day? I have decided in my own life that I need to be asking God every day, increase my faith, increase my hope, increase my love. Help me. As I want that more and more apparent in my life, pray for it. God loves to answer those prayers. "Let all your works give thanks. Let your faithful ones bless you. Let them discourse of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might. Make known to men your might and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is a kingdom for all ages, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is just in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth." Hear that. The Lord is near to all who call upon him. Most of the time the Lord seems distant from us, but he's not at all. He's very, very near. Cry out to him. To all who call upon him in truth. That means I come to you asking in truth for what I need. Asking in truth for others. Asking for grace from God. Asking for help from God. Come to him in truth. And he hears us. And he will answer us. It's his mercy, brothers and sisters. This year of mercy, do we understand that we live by the mercy of God? If God were not merciful, I would have been dead a long time ago. I live by God's mercy. I thank him every day for his mercy. I repent of my sin gladly because I know I will receive mercy. I know I will receive the presence of God will be more effective in me and through me. Ask for mercy. Don't be afraid to admit your sins. Don't be afraid to ask for mercy. It will be granted to you. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 45 to 51, Philip found Nathanael and told him, We have found the one about whom Moses wrote in the law and also the prophets, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth. Look at Philip. We found him. Look at that conviction. They never thought that the Messiah would come that way. That's called faith. It totally turned their world upside down and inside out. God wants to do the same with you and me. We have found the one about whom Moses wrote in law and also the prophets, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth. But Nathanael said to him, can anything good come from Nazareth? See, isn't that the human condition? What do you mean? Can anything good come out of this town? But Philip said to him, come and see. Come and see. Philip didn't argue with him. He just said, come on, let me show you. Where would you take people if you wanted to show them that God was alive, present? Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, and he said of him, here is a true child of Israel. There is no duplicity in him. Jesus hasn't, quote, met him yet. He's known him from all eternity. But here in the human realm, he's a stranger. And Nathanael, he says, here is a true child of Israel. There is no duplicity in him. And Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree. Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus answered and said to him, do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this. See, there is no duplicity in Nathanael. Nathanael was not double-minded. 99.9% of us are double-minded at one moment or another because our motives are often selfish. But Jesus was saying about him, there is no duplicity in him. There is no duplicity. He's simple. He's clear. And for that reason, when Jesus speaks, Nathanael is able to receive it. He doesn't have clutter in his life. He doesn't have mixed motives. He's clear. And so when Jesus speaks to him, he says it. He accepts. And Jesus says to him, do you believe because I tell you that I saw you under a fig tree? You will see greater things than this. And he said to him, amen, amen, I say to you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. You will see heaven. Duplicity, brothers and sisters, duplicity is in all of us. I do right things for the wrong reasons all the time. I do the right things for selfish reasons. Most of the time, I do it for what I might receive. Nathanael was clear and straightforward. May we be given the grace of Nathanael. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. God bless you.